I need to have the time to talk you through the sermon this morning. So I want to begin with our scripture, which I didn't have read because I knew we were under time constraints this morning. And my sermon's going to be a little different this morning because there's a good bit of history tied up in the scriptures that we're going to be looking at that I need to explain to you. But if you'll please be patient with me, I think you'll find that the application is pretty strong. And I've got two whiteboards. The other one's appearing right now. Thank you very much for that, doing that for me. Our scripture for today starts in Acts chapter 7. And in Acts chapter 7, we have a passage of scripture that we find ourselves in Jerusalem. This is after Jesus' death and resurrection. And the church has been around for a couple of years now, and they've been sharing and giving and living together. And the pressure's mounting against the church. And it says, when they, the religious leaders, heard Stephen's message. Stephen was one of the early church members and leaders. They were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But let me just pause here for a second. I didn't share this with anybody else because I love you more. But just imagine for just a minute if you were given a tough assignment from God, and Stephen was about to be given a really tough assignment. He was about to be martyred. He was about to be stoned to death. But imagine if you're about to be given a really tough assignment and you look up in the sky and you literally see God on his throne. Can you just imagine the courage and the faith that you would have in that moment if that were to happen to you? And so there he is. He looks up and he sees the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now to the Jews who did not believe in Jesus, for the idea of Jesus to be at the right hand of God, they've crucified him. And now Stephen's saying he's sitting at the right hand of God. This is not a message they want to hear. So it says at this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices as though they were going, la, 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 la. Have you ever seen some kid do that? Now, I don't know when you're supposed to stop doing that, but there's some point in adulthood when you're supposed to stop, and these people hadn't stopped yet. They were covering their ears and shouting with their voices so they didn't have to hear him. It's a little childish, isn't it? That's the picture. They rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. They just picked up stones and began throwing them at him until they killed him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, for those of you who are familiar with your Bibles, can you give me a preview of who Saul is? Who does he later, he gets a name change. Who does he later get called? Paul, thank you. Paul becomes the apostle who writes most of the New Testament for us. And goes out in the name of Jesus. But here, he was a young Pharisee who's full of vigor and fire, and he's persecuting the church. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this against sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. Now, Luke, who's writing this, he wrote the book of Luke and Acts, is going to give us a clue on a commentary on what's about to happen. And the clue is buried in the meaning of a word. And I want to share with you the clue ahead of time so that when we get to this sentence, you get it. Because the early readers would have gotten it. And here's the word. I'll turn this a little bit more, Patty, so that you can see it. The word is apostles. Now, I'm going to guess that there are very few people who know what the word apostle actually means, so I'm going to help you. The word apostle actually means sent out. Sent out. One who is sent out. And the reason why it means sent out is that just before Jesus went to be with his Father in heaven in Matthew chapter 28 and then in Acts chapter 1 and 2, Jesus met with the disciples and he says, I have a mission for you. Your mission is to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he said, and what I want you to do is I want you to go to Jerusalem. Some of you have heard this before. Judea. Anybody know what the next one is? Samaria. And then what? To the ends of the earth. This is your mission plan. Well, we're in Acts chapter 7. Where is this taking place? Jerusalem. These are the apostles, the ones who are sent out. So let's read on. And Saul was there giving approval for his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the ones who were sent left. Let me repeat that again. All except the ones who were sent left. As a matter of fact, the ones who left were scattered to Judea, which was what? Next on the list, and Samaria, which was next on the list. The people who stayed were who? The ones who were sent out. Do you get what Luke is trying to say? By the way, Luke was one of the church's first missionaries. So he has a bent here in his thinking. He says, the ones who were sent out, when pressure came, everybody left but them. Now maybe there was a strategic reason for that, but he's trying to say, they had already been sent and they weren't yet going. And even when pressure came, they still didn't leave. Now historically speaking, here's what happened. And I don't have time to walk you through the scripture literally, but so I'm going to summarize it for you. They left, and things cooled down a little bit in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 15, in Acts chapter 15, the apostles are still in. By this time, Saul, who's now called, has met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he wants to go out. But he realizes that he's under the apostles' authority, so he wants to go to them. But was there the day that all this started, so he's afraid to go to them. So he asks Barnabas and says, Barnabas, will you come with me to go to the apostles and make introduction and tell them that I become a Christ follower and ask their blessing for me to go out into the world? And there's a long conversation that ensues about whether Paul should be able to go out and share the gospel, not to the Jewish people, they already agreed on that, to the non-Jewish people. That's most of us. And here's what happened. I'm going somewhere with this. Paul was given the blessing and he and Barnabas left and they went to a church called Antioch. And the book of Acts tells us that Paul and Barnabas were there for 2 or 3 years teaching the people and growing them in their faith. And Antioch decided one day, in conjunction with Paul and Barnabas, that they needed to be sent out further. They said, other people need you. So they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas and they said, go in our name. And Antioch became a mission sending center. Where they kept sending people out. Go, 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 go. Now we don't know when, but history tells us that eventually, at some point in time, the disciples divided up the world. And all went to different corners of the world to share the gospel. At some point in time, they finally understood and or were called to do this. We don't know. We have no idea. The Bible is silent on this issue. So, I want to take a time out for a second. And I want you to think with me about something. It's not a thought that you probably have a lot. And I'm going to actually divide you in half. Because I found something really interesting this week that I want to share with you that got me really to thinking. Okay? So here it is. How many of you have ever eaten a Cinnabon? There's something just about the name, isn't there? that brings warm feelings. Cinnabon. How many of you have ever eaten an entire Cinnabon? How many of you have had the courage to share one? Just a few of you. Just a few of you. Do you know what Cinnabon's motto is? I bet you never even thought to ask, did you? Their motto. This is off their website. Here it is. You ready? This is trademarked. Life needs frosting. That's their motto. And here's their mission. I love this. In all its glory, we provide, you holding on to your seats? The balance you need in life. That's the mission of Cinnabon. Go to their homepage. It's right there. We provide the balance you need in life. Man, you got some chutzpah when you're Cinnabon and that's your mission. Cinnabon. Now, on the other side is the Lions Club. Now, I've never been to a Lions Club meeting. I don't know anything about the Lions Club except one thing. Two things. I know their mission statement. Their mission statement is this: to empower volunteers to serve their community. Now, here's what the second thing I know about Lions Club is they give away glasses, eyeglasses. Y'all familiar with that thought? So they give away glasses. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Some of y'all aren't going to like me for this, but I'm going to divide you in half. Right down this pew here, you guys are the Cinnabon people. You guys are the Lions Club people. Now, I want you to imagine for just a second that you're on the corporate board of these two groups. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the question, Cinnabon people, what would it take, ask the questions, what do we have to ask and what would it take to provide balance in people's lives in Morgan County through Cinnabon? It has to be through Cinnabon. All right? And you're going to chat amongst yourselves about this question. Now, wait a second before you start. Lions Club people, I want you to ask the question, if your mission, let's just narrow this a little bit, if your mission is to provide glasses to every kid in Morgan County who needs it, what questions do you have to ask to accomplish that mission? I'm going to give you about 2 minutes, and I want you to think, what questions do you have to ask to get glasses to every kid in Morgan County, and what questions do you have to ask through Cinnabon's products to provide balance to everybody's life in Morgan County? All right, take 2 minutes to do that. I'll give you all another minute. All right, I'm going to call time on you. So far, Cinnabon people, their track record has not been good, so we're going to call on you first. Corporate board, what questions do you need to ask so that you move to your mission statement to provide balance, the balance you need in life if you're in Morgan County through Cinnabon's products? That's what you're providing, Cinnabon's products. So what questions did you ask that helped lead you to answer this question for the people of Morgan County? Okay.
And how many Cinnabons would equal balance?
Are you serious?
At least two.
I'll write it down. Sorry, I shouldn't ask that question. I'm the moderator. Just as a curiosity, how many Cinnabons would equal balance? Wow, just the question itself rocks my world. Okay, what else? Say that again. Okay, so the good thing about passing out Cinnabons would be that you'd provide people with breakfast, but you're a company, right? So you can't really just pass out Cinnabons, because you have to sell them to make money. See, the idea is that you're actually...
Oh, you want us to sell.
Well, yeah, you're a company.
You can tell if they're balanced if they're bubbles in the middle.
I mean, a company says we're going to accomplish this, and here's the products we use to do it, right? This is what we do. Yeah. How well do you think they did, Lions Club? All right. So, Lions Club, you want to provide glasses to every kid in the county. What are some of the questions you ask? Wait. How many kids? Yeah, what else? How many kids need glasses? How are we going to acquire the glasses? How to get the glasses. Okay? What else? Examine the kids?
We don't have an optometrist or an ophthalmologist in this county, so we're going to have to go out of the county to get someone to volunteer.
And really, we want them to be examined in the schools, right? What else? Yeah. Anything else? Raise the money. Yep. Anything else?
Distribute them?
Yep. Now, let me ask you a question. Doesn't it seem like Cinnabon's philosophy is, our doors are open, once you smell it, you'll come to us? Come to us. We'll reward you with a Cinnabon. Here, what's the philosophy? Go out to them, right? The kids are not going to just do this. You got to go out to them. Right? Now, yes.
If you made it known, some would come to you.
Some would come. Yep. Some would come. You're right. Yep. Now, here's what happened in the church. In the early church, if you read Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, it says that they shared everything together. They ate together. They spent life together. It says that they sold all their possessions and gave it to each other. They shared with everyone in need. How much of that list is us together, and how much of that list is going out? You see, in Jerusalem, so much of what was happening here is come to us. But in Antioch, they got this idea. We need to go out. We need to go out. You see, what had happened was they had created a warm, nurturing, friendly, kind, and helpful place. Which is all really, really important. Except that when you walk into Cinnabon, how many of you feel motivated to do anything except sit down and eat and drink a cup of coffee? When you're in that place, the first thing that strikes you is, man, I just got to sit down and just work on this giant, massive, it's not really a bun anymore, is it? It's something, there's another word for it. You don't feel motivated to get up, you feel motivated to sit down. Right? And so often the church develops an atmosphere where they develop a warmth and a comfort and a help and a ministering to each other, and the desire is to just sit down and enjoy it. But Jesus said to the apostles, you are the sent ones, not the sitting ones. And Antioch said, we have to start sending people out. Now, the church isn't really supposed to be one or the other. And too often it becomes that. The church is supposed to be both. But what happens is, as human beings, when we create a warm place for people to come to where they feel their needs are met and they're ministered to, their inclination is just to sit down and to enjoy it. And we must, at the same time we create this very thing, fight the inertia of making the pew a lazy boy. And we have to say, we are not going to simply enjoy this and wait for you to come to us and smell the smell and taste the taste. Oh, we'll do that, but we're going to do more than that. We're going to go out and we're going to find how many people are in need. We're going to find out what their needs are. We're going to see what we need to do to meet those needs where they are. And minister to them. This year, our Christmas play is going to be at the high school, folks, not here. We're inviting kids from Go Friends to be a part of it. Because it's not just about the kids in our church. We're going to do a gingerbread contest that we're inviting the entire community to participate in. And we're going to invite people to make huge gingerbread castles and have a big competition. And you have to pay to enter the competition, and every single dollar goes to Habitat for Humanity. And at the end of that competition, we're going to auction those off, and every single dollar goes to Habitat for Humanity. And then everybody that comes is going to be invited to come to the Christmas program over at the high school. Do you know why we're doing that? Because we don't want to just live here. We need to be a church who also goes here. And this can feel really uncomfortable. But it's where people who don't know Jesus are. And if our mission, do you remember our mission? If our mission is to win, build, and send, that's what we have to do. Rich came to me a couple weeks ago. He said, the kids are telling me that one of the biggest things they face in high school is discouragement. He said, so I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to go over to the high school during lunchtime, and I'm going to form groups where we just encourage each other. So he, whenever he took a bag of cheeseburgers with him, he gathered together three different groups of about 20 kids, and they sat down and he just led them to encourage each other. Why? Because he knew that he had to go where they are. Like Ernie said, only a small number will come to us. And when they come, we have to provide them with a warm, healing, inviting place. And for those who won't come, we need to go. We need to go. We need to find them. We need to bless them. We need to meet their needs in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus told us to do. We are also the sent ones. And the question is, look at our lives together and ask, how much are we being sent? And our goal is not that we abandon this. Our goal is to increase this. I share this with you because somebody will come to me and say, why aren't we holding the Christmas play at church? Why are you worshiping in a gym? Why are you, this is why? Because we believe it's exactly what Jesus told us. He didn't ask us. He told us to. And can I say one more thing? And I told this to them at the front porch. I said, look, when we say the church does something, that says we do something. Because there is no church without us. So when the church goes out, what does that mean? We go out. That's what it means. So we have 130 kids who are willing to make the journey to us for Go Friends. And when Sarah says we need volunteers, that's an easy assignment because we don't have to go out to them. They're coming to us. Do you see? And at the heart of the gospel is this idea that it's good news and it needs to be taken beyond these walls and this campus to wherever people need it. There's a mission trip coming up in West Virginia. That's another place. What is our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth? What is that for us? And where is God asking you to go? Let's pray. God, today we want to thank you for loving us and for caring about us, for providing warm places for us. Help us not to become too comfortable in those places. Encourage us by your grace. Sometimes give us a holy push to move out. And help us to celebrate you, God. Help us to be encouraged by you, to feel your love, your goodness, and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.